Imagine driving down a scenic stretch of highway with your significant other. The stretch of highway offers an unobstructed view of the lake. This seemingly romantic drive takes a turn. Darting out of the roadside bushes and in front of your vehicle is the most horrific creature you have ever laid eyes on. With your heart pounding and your mind racing, you scramble to make sense of what you just witnessed. The only thing that comes to mind is a prehistoric species. Knowing full well that this particular prehistoric species is long extinct, the next best explanation is that you just witnessed the mythological Loch Ness Monster. I know what some of you might be thinking. Loch Ness is a myth and not fact. And that is fine if you believe so. But I urge you to hang on and listen to today's episode as I break down the origin, sightings, theories, and research behind the little old Nessie before coming to a conclusion on if you believe in this curious creature or not. This is Unlocking the Paranormal, and I am your host, Carrie. So far, you have heard a brief snippet of an actual Nessie encounter. But before I continue with that story, I'm going to take you back to when this creature originated. Now, the origin story of this creature dates back a long time ago, during ancient times to be exact. This creature, which is believed to inhabit a lake in Scotland, first appeared in local stone carvings by the Pict. The Pict are an ancient people who lived in what is now eastern and northeastern Scotland. The stone carvings depict a beast with flippers. These carvings are said to resemble a seahorse, which in this particular photo that I am looking at, I do not see that. Some have suggested the creature is a dolphin, which I don't see at all. And of course, some have theorized the carvings are of the mysterious Loch Ness Monster. I will put up a picture of these carvings on our Instagram and Facebook page for those who are curious and want to take a look. The first time this creature was mentioned in a written account was in a 7th century biography of St. Columba. St. Columba was an ordained priest and founded churches and monasteries and introduced Scotland to Christianity. He was even considered a saint. According to the biography, the creature was spotted biting a swimmer and was charging to attack another man when Columba managed to scare the beast off by invoking the name of God and telling the creature to go back. The creature never hurt anyone else after that. One part of me does wonder if this origination story is merely that, a story. Did St. Columba want to be seen as this godly figure, so powerful that he had control over an evil man-biting beast? So much that he made the story up? Or did he really see something in the waters? And was it really scared off from the loud shouting? For many, this creature is all too real, but it wasn't until the early 1930s that sightings of the Loch Ness Monster grew and caught like wildfire. One of the earliest reports of a Nessie encounter in the 1930s was in April of 1933. A man and his wife recount their encounter with the beast. No names were provided to the paper, I am assuming out of fear of scrutiny. The man, which was a businessman, told the paper that he and his wife, a university graduate, were driving along the north shore of the loch when she noticed something making a large splash in the water, roughly 3/4 of a mile off the shore. The lake had previously been calm and waters were smooth. Beneath the disturbed waters, they spotted a creature frolicking and rolling in the water before fully plunging and disappearing. They reported the body resembled a whale and stated that when it made its final plunge, the water disturbance was so large it could have been made by a steamer. The woman claims the size of the creature had to be many, many feet long. This sighting took place just before the one I referenced at the beginning of the episode. The Daily Sketch published an article in December of 1933, quoting a motorist who spoke about his encounter with the creature in July of that year. Gordon Spicer stated that he and his wife were motoring between Dores and Fourier's around 4 p.m. on the evening of July 22nd, when his wife let out a cry and they both witnessed something so unusual. I am now going to read some brief snippets of this article. Motorist tells of how an abomination with a 3-arched neck and a body 4 feet high shot across the road, referencing it as a prehistoric species. The article continues with a quote. "It was horrible, an abomination. The first I saw of it was an undulating sort of neck, a little thicker than an elephant's trunk. It did not move in the usual reptilian fashion, but with 3 arches in its neck. It shot across the road until a ponderous body about 4 feet high came into view. I have motored across thousands of miles. I am a temperate man. I cannot think of any undertaking, any pledge that I would not accept to vouch for the truth of my statement. I am certain this creature is of a prehistoric species. It haunts me still." Now, a clip of this article can be found on our social media, and I will link the source so you can view the entire article in full. Due to the increase in sightings and how much the stories were captivating the public, the Daily Mail sent reporters to Scotland, where they hired a man named Marmaduke Wetherill to find the sea monster. Marmaduke was a big game hunter and was commissioned in December of 1933 to track down this elusive creature. Just a few days later, he ended up finding something. It wasn't the creature itself, but rather a set of footprints that were on the shore of the loch and led down into the water. The footprints were fresh and were made by a 4-toed creature. He estimated that the creature responsible for the prints was about 20 feet long. In response to his finding, the Daily Mail published an article titled, "Monster of Loch Ness is Not Legend, but Fact." I will have a copy of this on our Instagram and Facebook page. He made casts of the footprints and sent them off to the Natural History Museum in London to be analyzed. The public eagerly awaited the zoologist's analysis of the prints. With the set of these footprints and the string of recent sightings, many flocked to the area to join in the search. But soon after the first of the year, many would be let down, as the museum zoologist announced that the footprints most certainly did not belong to the Loch Ness monster. He determined that the footprints were from a stuffed hippo and the base of an umbrella stand or ashtray. Marmaduke looked like a total fraud or total dupe. Many do not know if he faked the prince or if he was the victim of a hoax. This discouraged many from believing in the Loch Ness Monster, as well as, I'm sure, what was printed as fact in the Daily Mail. Loch Ness sightings continued into the following year despite news of the footprints hoax. In January, a man named Arthur Grant encountered a creature while motorcycling home along the lakeside. The veterinary student stated that it was around 1:30 a.m. when the moonlit path unveiled a monster in clear sight. The monster was frightened by the motorcycle. It then crossed the roadway directly in front of him and then plunged into the lake, which caused a disturbance in the water. Grant described the creature as having a small eel-like head with large oval-shaped eyes, a long neck, two rounded ridges on its back, a hefty body, two front flippers, two webbed back flippers, and a tail that estimated to be around 5 to 6 feet long. He stated that he estimated the creature to be between 15 to 20 feet long. In the Wireless to New York Times, Grant stated it looked like a hybrid, something in between a plesiosaurus and the seal tribe. I jumped off my cycle, but the creature, with great speed, had rushed into the lock, making a wild splash. He was familiar with natural history and stated that he had never seen anything like it in his life. This article also referenced a report from the Daily Mail of tracks from a three-toed creature near where Grant had his encounter. 10 footprints were located and casts were made for examination by experts. I was unable to determine if these reported tracks were the same as the four-toed creature we previously mentioned or not. I will place a copy of this article on our social media if you would like to take a look and read it in full. The most iconic encounter with the Loch Ness Monster was that of Dr. R.K. Wilson. Dr. R.K. Wilson was a respected London surgeon that came forward claiming that on April 19, 1934, he captured a photo of the mysterious creature. In many news outlets, it was considered the very first photo of the legendary monster and was referred to as the surgeon's photo. It captivated the world and left biologists puzzled. For some, the fact that this photo came from such a credible source and was the first clear image of the creature, this was enough proof for them in believing in Nessie's existence. However, others believed it to be a hoax. This iconic photo is still used today in blogs and other various websites. When writing a story of the Loch Ness Monster, this is the very photo that is typically used. And I can almost guarantee that it is the image that you are all picturing right now as I speak. In the photo, you can see what appears to be a slender, long neck of a figure with a small head rising from the surface, its body slightly peeking out of the top of the water. The photos were shown to a Scottish biologist who was unable to identify what animal it was and claimed it was not of any marine animal or fish known to inhabit the British island waters. Robert Wilson talked to news reporters about capturing this infamous photo. Dr. Wilson stated in the interview that it raised its snake-like neck from the waters of the loch within 200 yards of the point to where he was standing. He stated, quote, "The monster did not stay long on the surface. Just as I took the fourth photograph, the head began gradually to sink from view." you can access the image of the photo published in the New York Times on our Instagram page. Not everyone was convinced the photo was of the mythological creature. There were many arguments and theories as to what the photo really was. Skeptics claim the photo was merely a waterfowl, a tree trunk thrust to the surface, or an otter's tail in the act of diving into the water. But what motive would a respected surgeon have to lie about what he saw? It was only a few short months later, another photo of this elusive creature surfaced. In June of 1934, a woman came forward claiming to have caught a photo of the Loch Ness Monster. The photo was taken from the shore after she witnessed a hump on the water's surface. She claimed it rose to the surface, swam a few yards, then disappeared into the depths below. If you would like to see the photo that was taken, head over to our Instagram and Facebook page. You are probably wondering, what about other credible sightings? Even the vice chairman of the Scottish Tourist Board came forward to tell of his encounter. During a visit from two friends, a minister and his wife, he decided to take them to the loch where all the sightings were taking place. He stated that while in his car a few miles down the loch, he spotted the monster. His friends that were with him were skeptical, so he decided to get out of the car for a better look. He walked to the edge of the water and witnessed the creature about 20 yards out from the shore. He claims that the monster resembled an elephant in terms of color, texture, and size of at least one of the humps he saw sticking out of the water. When the creature moved, it created ripples like that of a small fishing boat. He then stated the creature disappeared while heading towards the center of the lake. He estimated the length to be about 60 feet long. In this news article, he speaks of what the humps appeared to look like. He stated there were other humps and spaces between them. He did not see the head. The place where the head would be was underwater. There was a slew of sightings that occurred over the years. From the 1960s to the 80s, several missions to uncover the monster below the water surface took place. In an article by History.com, an expedition was launched by British universities with which sonar was used to search the water's depths below. Although nothing conclusive was uncovered, in each of the expeditions, large moving objects were detected. These large objects could not be explained. Then, in August of 1972, Boston's Academy of Applied Science and the Loch Ness Investigation Bureau launched their own joint expedition, combining both sonar and underwater photography. During this expedition, the Academy of Applied Science explained that a sonar transducer was mounted on the bottom of the loch at a depth of 35 feet, and the strobe light camera was mounted on the bottom at a depth of 45 feet. With this setup, they were able to capture an image that showed a flipper-like object below the water. There was a total of 3 photos that captured this so-called flipper. The original color photo had been enhanced and turned into a black and white photo to offer a cleaner image of the flipper. This photo was then presented to the public. The flipper appeared to be a diamond paddle shape. The boat crew were so excited they had captured something so unbelievable. Unbelievable being the accurate word to describe the image, as later we would learn of the problematic assumption that the photo captured a flipper at all to begin with. As explained by Dick Rayner, who was there during the expedition, the sonar transducer and strobe light camera were not fixed to the lake bed. Rather, were floating just above the bed of the lake. This allowed the camera to be pushed around by the current, taking photos of the bottom surface. He also went on to explain that the enhanced version of the photo appears to have been retouched, but he is not sure who was responsible. He did not believe it was done to provide fake evidence. Rather, it was done by someone who already was a believer in the Loch Ness Monster and assumed they just captured an image of the creature and its flipper. So perhaps when editing the photo, their brain filled in and tried to make sense of what it was seeing. And that is how the flipper image was created. Both the original photo and enhanced image will be posted to our social media for you to take a look and decide for yourself. Do you believe it's the flipper of a mysterious marine animal? Or was the photo edited to appear like a flipper based off one's assumption that that's what it must have been? While the flipper photo was an exciting new piece of questionable evidence, 14 years later, two men, Adrian Schein and Daryl Lawrence, were geared up for one of the largest and most intense searches for proof of Nessie in Loch Ness. According to the legend of Nessie, Adrian Schein, the leader of the Loch Ness Project, teamed up with Daryl Lawrence, the head of Lawrence Electronics, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and planned to perform an intensive search for evidence in what is now called Operation Deep Scan. Before Operation Deep Scan took place in October 1986, Adrian and Daryl conducted trial runs. With the use of 10 boats and X-16 sonar units, they scanned the depths of the water. The units had a range of 1,300 feet and could target objects as small as 1 foot and separate objects just 1 inch apart. The idea was to form a line with the boats to do a sweep of the water. But as luck would have it, bad weather forced them to halt the project until the following year. Then, on October 9th, 1987, they started the largest sonar sweep of any freshwater loch in the world. This time, they were armed with 24 boats, over 250 news reporters, and 20 television crew members attended the event. As they started out, 19 boats formed a line and were equipped with the X-16 sonar units. Along with that, other boats formed with a SIMRAD scanning sonar unit. This well-thought-out plan proved to be a little less than, well, thought out. They instantly encountered issues with the sonars interfering with each other, that they had to turn down the sensitivity to a minimum level. While they continued on, they did detect 3 strong sonar hits from 256 feet, so 78 meters, to 590 feet, 180 meters. Of these 3 strong sonar hits, David Steensland stated that 2 of them were very strange and larger than those he picked up from the sharks off the coast of Florida. Daryl Lawrence added that they were larger than a shark, but smaller than a whale. The third, which was at a depth of 78 meters, so 256 feet, could have been of a very large known fish. He did note that If it was of this fish, he felt like it was unlikely at that depth. On day two, they returned to each of these locations, but did not detect any large hits. This proved that the objects were not fixed, but in fact, moving targets. Now, if you find yourself disappointed that the well-known photo of the Nessie Flipper may in fact just be an image of the lake bed below, and these extensive searches do not turn up any refutable evidence, you will be sad to hear that the hunt for Nessie exposed more than one hoax over the years. One of the biggest hoaxes of them all was uncovered in 1944. The culprit of the hoax? None other than Dr. R. K. Wilson, the London surgeon, who claimed to have taken one of the very first photos of the Loch Ness Monster. The infamous photo, which is still shared today, of Nessie emerging from the water with its head and neck just above the water's surface, is supposedly a fake. The hoax came to light after an English art teacher named Alistair Boyd, who was an avid Nessie researcher and believer, was provided an old news article from 1975. In this news article, Ian Wetherall, the son of duped Marmaduke Wetherall, stated the infamous photo was a hoax. At the time when this article was published, it gained very little attention. Wetherall stated that the men involved with the plot were Dr. Robert Wilson, the man he was going to visit, Maurice Chambers, and Marmaduke Wetherall. Alistair Boyd and his friend, David Martin, who found the article, were curious of the claims and tried to track down Ian Wetherall to discuss the article. By the time they found the article, Ian Wetherall had passed away. They were, however, able to track down Marmaduke's stepson, 93-year-old Christian Sperling. Supposedly, Christian Sperling confessed to the hoax, claiming his stepfather, Marmaduke, was very upset how the Daily Mail portrayed him after the Nessie footprint fiasco. He was deeply mortified, so he plotted revenge. With the help of his son and stepson, they faked the infamous photo. He then enlisted the help of Robert Wilson, with whom he met through the mutual acquaintance, Maurice Chambers. Apparently, they used a 14-inch tin model submarine as the base and attached a 12-inch high model of Nessie. The Nessie model was made from plastic wood and it was painted gray. Not everyone was quick to believe the hoax story. Some question whether the toy submarine could hold the model Nessie and still float without flipping. Others questioned if the memory of the 93-year-old was confused. When thinking about what motive Robert Wilson would have had, apparently he sold the image to the Daily Mail newspaper. So there was a little money in it for him, but with being a surgeon, seems unlikely. Perhaps he just wanted to help out a friend. I will leave it up to you all to decide if the story of the hoax is real or not. Despite the 1994 revelation of the most iconic photo and supposed evidence of Nessie being fake, it didn't end the reported sightings and did not stop Nessie hunter enthusiasts. Now I want to take you to more present times to discuss some of the recent sightings. On May 26, 2007, a man named Gordon Holmes was doing hydroponic research on the Loch Lake. Around 9:50 a.m., he decided to make a trip up to the viewpoint that is about 70 feet above the lake. While driving up to the viewpoint, he noticed something in the water. He grabbed his tape recorder and jumped out of his car. In all of the excitement, he forgot that if you see this creature, you do not make loud noises. After exiting his car, he was in such a rush to record what he saw that he slammed the door. The creature then disappeared. But luckily, he spotted it again. He began to record this creature. In the video, you can see a large dark figure just below the water surface, gliding along. The gliding movements resemble that of an eel. But considering how far away he was and how large it looked, that would mean the eel was about 15 feet long, which can be ruled out as a possibility. The possibility that it was a log drifting along was also ruled out when experts examined the footage and determined that the creature was slithering along at a top speed of 6 miles per hour. You can view the footage on YouTube. History Channel featured an interview with Gordon Holmes. Now, I am going to take you to year 2018, when a young girl named Charlotte Robinson was on a family holiday in Invermorriston and spotted the legendary creature. This is a small village in Highland, Scotland. Her family was staying at the Loch Ness Highland Lodges. The lodge offered scenic views of the lake, which sat just below the deck out back. Having just arrived at the lodge that day, Charlotte got the shock of a lifetime around 7 p.m. when she spotted a dark, shadowy figure in the water. Charlotte quickly grabbed her phone and snapped a photo of the mysterious figure. In an interview with the Daily Express US, she told reporter Adam Chapman, "There was something in the water, about 50 feet from the shore. I took a photo. It had a neck and a head, was in the shape of a hook." She continued, "I just took what I saw. It was black. I just don't know how far it was out of the water. I'm not good at judging distances. But after about a minute, it disappeared and then came back up again in a different place. It was up for less than a minute the second time. I kind of believe in Nessie, but I wanted to see the proof. I always imagined her as having a long neck and flippers. I have seen something, but I am not sure what." End quote. Well, poor Charlotte went on and on about capturing a photo of this creature to her mom, who didn't believe her until she saw the photo. After her mom saw the photo, she felt it was worth sharing with news outlets. Now, I have shared some of the more recent sightings, but if you are wondering, what about recent research? Well, 2018 was an exciting time for researchers. A DNA survey of the lake was conducted to determine what organisms live in the water. The results indicated the presence of numerous eels. So, now a new question is raised. Could the sightings be of a very large eel? Now, jumping into our current year. Well, current in years of recording this episode. One of the largest searches for this creature took place in August over the weekend of the 25th and 26th. Dozens of volunteers came out to conduct a search to find evidence of this creature. There were volunteers from Spain, France, Germany, and news crews from US, Australia, and Japan. It was a big deal. There was already excitement a few days ahead of the weekend when a man on a family trip spotted something dark in the water while boating. The boat tour was heading back to shore when the dark object was spotted. The man managed to get a photo of it before it disappeared below the surface. If any listeners want to see this photo, just head over to the Instagram or Facebook page. The great search for this creature was just as exciting, but for other reasons. The volunteers had to deal with inclement weather. It was a rainy and windy weekend. The rain hindered listening for noises. The wind caused choppy waters for the boaters, and it made it difficult to fly drones over the lake. Which is unfortunate, because this was the first time thermal drones were used to fly over the lake to pick up any potential heat signatures of any large marine animals close to the water surface, and the first time hydrophones were used to pick up underwater sounds. One group reported they used an underwater microphone in hopes of documenting the noises of this creature. But you will never guess what happened. They heard 4 distinct noises. The plan was to send these off to be analyzed to determine if they are natural sounds or sounds that are unknown. But they got too excited, or something, because they forgot to hit record. They walked away with 0 proof of the noises and 0 evidence of this creature's existence. If you want to see the most documented cases, head over to LochNessSightings.com. There are many sightings. I have not even scratched the surface. I could probably spend and dedicate an entire season talking about all of the sightings. Now that I have discussed the origin, early sightings, hoaxes, and recent sightings of the Loch Ness Monster, I want to talk about some of the theories around what people might be witnessing. Some have argued that this creature is nothing more than the long extinct prehistoric marine reptile, plesiosaur. The plesiosaur is often mistaken as a dinosaur, but it is a reptile that did live during the period of the dinosaurs. The plesiosaurus adapted to aquatic life in the Jurassic period. They can be described as having long necks, a small triangular-shaped head, and 4 flippers. They lived in shallow coastal waters, and some grew over 43 feet in length. Even though the description is similar to this cryptic cryptid, there are several arguments against this theory. First being the fact that there is no evidence they lived beyond the Cretaceous period and survived the dinosaur extinction millions of years ago. Some argue that there is no evidence to suggest the plesiosaurs could inhabit freshwater lakes. But in an article written in 2022, scientists from the University of Bath and University of Portsmouth in the UK stated a small plesiosaurus was discovered in a 100 million year old river system that is now the Morocco-Sahara Desert. So, this indicates that these creatures may have adapted to live in fresh water, meaning finding one in the loch is a lot more probable. Other arguments against this theory: this cryptic cryptid was not a plesiosaurus, was the fact that the plesiosaurus did need to surface above the water to breathe. They did not have gills. With needing to come up for air, it is assumed that they would be spotted more often if this creature was in fact a plesiosaurus. Many believe there simply is not enough marine life to provide a steady food supply for such a large creature. Lastly, even though the plesiosaurus neck was long, it was rather stiff, making it difficult to bend its neck up out of the water without seeing more of the body surface as well with it. Paleontologist Samuel Wendell Williston confirmed that the neck of the plesiosaur could not be raised high and were constricted in their ability to sweep from side to side. The vertebrae were flat and close fit, which reduced the amount of movement they could make in their neck. Other theories of what people are witnessing includes an eel or possibly a seal. Before we end, I do want to bring up a few key facts about the lake itself. The lake sits in the Highland Council area of Scotland. It is 23 miles long and has a maximum depth of 788 feet. Several main rivers and about 100 streams feed into this lake. The following are fish species native to the lake: European eel, northern pike, European sea sturgeon, three-spined stickleback, brook lamprey, Atlantic salmon, sea trout, brown trout, and the Arctic char. Of the fish I just mentioned, I do want to add that the European sea sturgeon can get up to 4 feet in length, and the top half is dark in color. I could definitely see how this fish could have been mistaken as the Loch Ness Monster. I am sure it would make a pretty large wave or splash when breaking the surface of the water. Also, the European eel can get up to 5 feet long, although more common to be around 2.5 feet. But it is possible the lake has very large eels. After diving into this subject, I have found myself feeling conflicted of my beliefs. A part of me thinks that if Nessie were real, we would have captured undeniable proof, whether it be DNA, photos, or sonar, something to give us a clear picture of what it is. I believe we would have found, possibly, the remains of such a creature. I believe there would be more proof of this creature being captured on land. If you recall the first several sightings I mentioned, they saw her on land running into the water. Also, the more credible pieces of proof brought forward turned out to be either a hoax or perhaps overzealous photo editors. As for the countless reports, I do believe that people are seeing something in the water, but perhaps the desire to encounter such a legendary creature is leading people to believe they are seeing Nessie versus what it really is. I would love to hear what listeners believe. Do you believe the Loch Ness Monster is real? Or do you believe Nessie is merely a myth? Also, let me know how you determined your decision. What key piece of information made you a believer or skeptic? Again, any photo or video mentioned in this episode can be found on our Instagram at Unlocking the Paranormal or our Facebook page. For a full list of the episode source material, head over to our Facebook page at Unlocking the Paranormal Podcast. Don't forget to take the poll out on our social media on if you are a believer or not after today's episode. I do thank you for embarking on this chilling journey to unlock the paranormal mysteries of the unknown with us. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast to ensure you never miss a moment of the unearthly tales that await. And do be sure to leave a review wherever you get your podcasts. And If you find yourself a witness to the unexplainable, send us your story at unlockingtheparanormalpod@gmail.com. You can become the next paranormal pet and pal. But be warned, dear listeners, for the shadows that surround us hold secrets darker than we dare imagine. As we part ways for now, remember that the paranormal whispers are never truly silent. Beyond this episode lies a realm of enigmas waiting to be unlocked. So stay tuned for our next episode, where we will venture further into the realms of the supernatural. Until next time, dear listeners, stay curious, embark on the journey, and may you find the key to unlocking the paranormal.